St. Mary's Committee, the whole meeting. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. It is 17:55 hours. A roll call, please. That's me.
Warden James Fuller.
Here.
Deputy Warden Beulah Malloy.
Here.
Counselor Scott Beaver.
Here.
Counselor Dana O'Connell.
Here.
Counselor Emma Tippo.
Here.
Also in chambers tonight is CAO Leslie McFarland, Marion Fraser, Director of Finance and Treasurer, Janelle Fleet, the interim municipal clerk, and Mallory Tebow, formerly known as Fraser, Director of Community Development and Recreation. Are there any additions to the agenda?
I would like to make an addition to the agenda.
Go right ahead.
Under staff direction for a media release, corresponding to the previous council meeting we just had.
Okay, we can make that number 8I. Are there any other additions to the agenda?
Yes.
Ms. McFarland.
I'd like to remove the in-camera item as we no longer require it.
I'm gladly removing number 9. Any other additions to the agenda? Hearing none, can I have a motion to accept the agenda with those additions?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that.
Counsel Beaver and Counselor O'Connell, all those in favor?
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Before you have the minutes of the committee of the whole meeting held on February 18th, 2026, are there any errors or omissions in the minutes of that meeting? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Business arising for the minutes. Hearing none, we will move to number 7. Correspondence dated the 24th of February from the NSFM Communications regarding Bill 186, Support for the Fire Protection Services Act. Have you all had a chance to read this? Point out again that this has not been approved by legislature yet, but it does involve several changes that we would have to do as far as fire services and our responsibilities. And is there anything else you'd like to add to this?
No, there's a staff report later. I can speak a little bit about that.
Terrific. Let's see that. Also, correspondence from the NSFM, February 24th, regarding the budget. And I would point out that this is a correspondence pointing out which municipal affair programs will end: flood risk, infrastructure investment, provincial capital assistance, municipal innovation programs, growth and renewal for infrastructure development. And yeah, we still don't know what they're doing with the budget.
Right. Yeah, but it does point out that there are infrastructure impacts beyond the social impacts that we were talking about just earlier. And we don't know the full details of them. It was just introduced, so we're waiting to see what the actual impacts are. Just like that other list, we don't know the full impact of it. It's just a one line per item. So as we continue to understand the impacts of that, then we'll be able to share it with council, and we'll be able to understand whatever actions we may need to take based on that.
Do you have any outstanding grants for any of those programs right now?
We do. But those shouldn't be cut. The ones that we already have should be still valid. It's just that we use these as ongoing infrastructure funding support. And so we won't be able to apply for them anymore. Now, hopefully there will be new grants that will replace these grants, and that won't have such a big impact. But that is really an unknown at this point. So as a small municipality, we really rely heavily on these grants. And if they aren't replaced, that will have a significant impact.
There's a lot of things in this. Drinking water, wastewater, disaster mitigation, accessibility, transit, so many things.
Yeah.
I wonder if the disaster mitigation has anything to do with our recent agreements with Guys Pro and our
No, that should be fine. Our REMO grant is, should be fine. We got a confirmation. We have like a contract for 4 years of funding from that. So they won't adjust a contract. It'd be future applications that would be impacted. But again, it's funding for municipal infrastructure programs, as well as funding to the community event organizations that we heard about, as well as Sherbert Village. They're really a multitude of impacts.
It would not be hyperbole to say that a substantial part of our budget relies on provincial grants for projects and other, that we have no idea what's going to happen.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we use a lot of grant funding for the community grant, the community programs that community development and recreation put on. So there were the grant programs that we're talking about here that the public sees directly that are funded to organizations other than the municipality, but other than just infrastructure, tremendous number. I think it's, I don't know, there were maybe dozens and dozens of programs that we use community development and recreation grant funding for are also impacted. And we don't know the full effect of them yet. Sometimes they're saying that they'll be cut across the province, say X percent. Does that mean they'll give everybody an X percent haircut, or they will not give it to some and not then give it to others? And that's really not known at this point. So those are things that we're closely monitoring, but they'll have a very direct impact, like many of our recreation and community development programs. So,
very like hard when it's all still unknown.
Yes.
Very hard to build a budget, build these
exactly
ideas and plans.
Yeah.
Oh, 6 o'clock is it? Okay. When the fire tones go off and it's 6 o'clock, it's test tones. Neither of us get worried about that. We have, excuse me, several staff reports. One is the healthcare worker appreciation. Is that you, Molly?
So a quick summary, the municipality received.
Oh, we got one.
The municipality received $14,000 from the Office of Healthcare Professionals Recruitment Community Fund to provide monthly snacks for St. Mary's Memorial Hospital, High Crest Nursing Home, and Glasgow County Home Support Agency staff. A request for proposals was issued and 3 submissions were received. After evaluating cost, menu quality, dietary accommodations, capacity, and logistics, staff recommend awarding the catering contract to St. Mary's District Lions Club for monthly snacks at a maximum cost of $9,072, with the remaining funds allocated to the Community Heroes Appreciation Event for 26-27.
So we're looking for a motion for that?
For recommendation, yes.
I will make the motion for recommendation for that.
Okay. Councillor Beaver?
I'll second that.
Councillor Tebow, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That recommendation is carried. We have the 26-27 general grants.
I'll speak to that.
Okay.
So we have this proposal, which is a, you know, comprehensive, but in light of what we're hearing about from the provincial budget cuts tonight, we would ask council to provide us direction instead of proceeding with what we're, what we've proposed here, to send us to give another look at this based on what we heard from the cuts and come back with updated recommendations at a future meeting, because really the situation is quite different than it was when we built these recommendations, and we want to have a chance to take a look at that. I mean, it's great that we had these applications, but I think that the situation needs to be checked into again. And we'd like, you know, if council's comfortable with that, that direction.
A motion to
I don't think we even need a motion if it's direction. We did have one to get the consensus of
let's see what we're hand we're dealt with.
Yes. Yeah.
We did out.
So you're just gonna take it back and wait till I
if you're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we will do that.
50% of our audience is leaving. Okay, next is declaring municipal land surplus, staff report.
Right. I'll speak to that as well. So as everyone knows, in May of 2025, the municipality purchased the former House of Jade property at 8164 Highway 7. And that was as a component of the housing strategy. And of course, in the meantime, in July of 2025, the location at 14 Main Street of the Shoppers Drug Mart was closed. And so in the meantime, we had prescriptions being picked up here at the municipal office. And then the municipality worked with Shoppers to get them a temporary modular location in the municipal parking lot, which has been still functioning, but it really only provides prescriptions and a few key medical supplies. It doesn't provide the same footprint as it originally did, and certainly not the requirements of the municipality. So the property at 8164 Highway 7 of the former House of Jade may be suitable for a permanent pharmacy location. And under the Municipal Government Act, the municipality is able to encourage the establishment, development, and expansion of new and existing businesses in and around the municipality. However, we can't grant tax concessions or any other forms of direct financial assistance to businesses or industry. So, just for clarity, under the Municipal Government Act, the municipality has the authority to sell property at market value when the property is no longer required for the purposes of the municipality. And we can sell it at a price less than market value for any purpose that the council considers beneficial to the municipality, based on a resolution that has to be passed by at least a two-thirds majority of the council present and voting. If that ends up being at a value of more than $10,000 less than market value, then council must first hold a public hearing respecting the sale, and notice of the public hearing must be given at least 14 days before the date of the public hearing. So with that said, as per the disposal of real property policy, municipally owned real property deemed surplus by motion of council has to be disposed of in a fair and impartial manner, considering the best economic return to the municipality, balanced with economic and community development opportunities. And again, that's per the Municipal Government Act. So, to promote the reestablishment of a permanent pharmacy location, council may wish to conduct a transparent procurement process, inviting developers to construct a pharmacy within the municipality and offering to sell the property at Highway 7, 8164, to the successful proponent as an incentive. The submission would be selected based on the proposal that's most beneficial to the municipality, including economic and community development considerations as well, the combination of the two. If council would like to proceed in that way, then they would first need to declare the property at 8164 Highway 7 to be no longer required for the purposes of the municipality, which would enable it to be sold. And that would then be able to enable a transparent procurement process to be initiated. So again, just for clarity, it was purchased with the intention to create housing. However, the emergent need for a permanent pharmacy location must also be considered. The proposed approach would enable interested developers to propose options, which could include construction of a pharmacy at that location or another location. And the developers could be invited to propose a location and approach for construction of a pharmacy, as well as a proposed use for the 8164 Highway 7 location, which could include housing. So pending council declaring the property surplus, a competitive procurement process would be anticipated to be initiated this spring. And that brings us to the opportunity for council to recommend, or committee of the whole to recommend to council, that the property at 8164 Highway 7, and I have the PID and AAN listed there, to be no longer required for the purposes of the municipality, which would enable that process to be initiated.
I'll make that recommendation.
Deputy Warden.
Seconded.
Councilor Beaver, all those in favor?
Aye.
Start moving that finally.
Yes. That was what I was here for. Okay. See you later.
Get out.
I'll speak to that as well.
Don't have to read the whole thing.
Don't have to read the whole thing. Okay. Basically, in light of the Fire Protection Services Act, this is going to require a significant overhaul that hasn't been seen in generations, or, well, at least decades anyway. And they've brought forward review after review from the province, I think there are at least four major reviews, and none of them have really resulted in significant change. And a number of factors, and not the least of which is a tragic incident at the fire school, have resulted in this being really prioritized as a much higher priority. So government has been moving forward. They introduced Bill 186 on Monday, February 23rd, 2026, to start moving this legislation forward. As you say, it's not approved yet, but it's been introduced. So with that said, at the same time, so we'll be looking to follow through with what the province brings forward through that legislation and accompanying regulations. The budget for dry hydrants is something that we were thinking about at the same time. So we were in the process of pursuing dry hydrants, and the 2025-26 budget included $12,500 for each of two dry hydrants, for a total of $25,000 in the current budget. One of those, the location's no longer valid, it's no longer available. So Seashore has asked to remove that request from their resubmission, but the one for Liscombe was still available. So a quote was obtained for $10,350 just for the design. And in the past, the last ones that were done, the cost of including construction were up to $12,500. So a significantly increased design cost, which caused us to take a look at this before we just went ahead and go out and confirm that, you know, we couldn't get a better price or what had changed. So contact with the municipality, the District of Guidesville, identified that their latest estimate to install a dry hydrant was $54,000. So including our design cost, that would take the cost for one dry hydrant to be in the range of $65,000. And that doesn't even include staff time to arrange the design and oversee the installation. And so very, very significant cost. And as a result of that, Guidesville has decided to move away from that approach, and they're no longer installing dry hydrants. And they're moving to a different model where they are putting in working within road right-of-way permits and creating driveways close to water sources. So they're just taking a completely different approach because these are not proving to be cost-effective. But in addition, they're also realizing that a lot of the dry hydrants that are out there are no longer effective because of drought conditions and changes to the infrastructure. So they're going to use them and they're not even usable. So to spend $65,000 for something that may not even be usable is no longer making sense. So Guidesville has determined that they are no longer pursuing that approach. In light of those things, and I will say also just one of the other things that we were looking at was the capital reserve for the fire services. And that had been an item that was on for discussion for staff to be proceeding with. But both of those things, working on dry hydrants and the capital reserve policy, are both components that will need to be looked at in the broader umbrella of work that needs to be done through the implementation of the Fire Protection Services Act. So our request of council is to provide direction here, and we're recommending that due to excessive costs of installing the dry hydrants, combined with ineffective functionality, that investments in dry hydrants be paused and considered as part of the broader policy and governance review associated with the implementation of the Support for Fire Protection Services Act. And we could include in that we also pause the work on the fire capital policy as well.
So that has increased by five or six times?
Old. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
It's beyond, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with the fire services assessment coming up, when I read through that, I feel like that's gonna work at as small municipalities, we're gonna probably incur more costs
It's very concerning, and there's been a lot of questions of the province about this. Minister McDonald spoke at the event on January 29th and talked about providing sustainable funding to municipalities to support going through this process, but we don't even know what kind of costs we're looking at yet, let alone what sustainable funding means and what kind of model we're really looking at. There's continuing discussions happening about this.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of unknowns.
And one more thing, just for me, just out of curiosity, the dry hydrants that we have in our municipalities, so I didn't notice, but did any of ours go dry during the last year?
Yes.
Because we're so dry.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Very early, yeah.
Yeah.
The two that we have in Goshen, one is completely unusable, the other one is seasonal.
Right, yeah. So it may be beneficial for an assessment if we come up with something better that's not quite as expensive.
Right.
So if we go along with the recommendation, how will we inform this? Are we going to?
We could provide them with a letter. That's not something we've directly contemplated at this point, but we can certainly provide them with a letter. Or, I mean, we have Fire Services Advisory Committee meeting coming up on March 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So that could certainly be something we could communicate in advance of that.
I think since it was in the newspaper today, we should tell them.
I also, so the same as in my district, I had originally planned to kind of chat with them before this. Everything happened so fast. We had a meeting before this, obviously ran out of time, but I have been chatting with them. So I, if it is okay, can talk to them. If it is okay with everyone, because I feel comfortable talking to them. And I also, I think I have the information needed because, so just to make sure I have everything clear, originally this plan was created about 5 years ago, is that what you're saying?
This request, I can get back to you with more details. It was in a previous staff report that we provided, and I don't have those details directly at hand.
But I just, I do find it unfortunate because I know both the fire department and the municipality have been working on this. But I just think with a lot of unknowns coming now with this fire protection stuff and everything, that it's just not really sensible to spend $52,000 more than originally budgeted, especially with the unknowns of everything else. And saying that, I know we have so much going on with the fire protection. This may come out in the wash a bit, but looking at different avenues such as Guysboro is doing or other communities, and that might come with once we get more information on the fire protection, what we can can't do and things. But instead of the dry hydrants, like just us maybe or staff looking at different.
My proposal is to do that as part of the fire services review, the broader review.
Okay, so right in that.
Yes, as part of that entire review, that this is one important component that would be considered. But the review is much, much bigger than placement of dry hydrants. It's really about the governance. It's about, you know, the entire structure of the fire services.
Funding
model, exactly. Like it's foundational. This is a component of it. The other thing is, if council does approve this recommendation today, it would still need to go to council before it's official. You could inform them that a recommendation had gone to council, but the decision isn't final until council has approved that, which would be the March 18th meeting. So just for clarity, if you are speaking with them, it would be important.
So you raised an issue that is in fact my mind and swirling around there. You mentioned that a number of these dry hydrants there are already been deemed, I think, non-functional or.
Well, we've requested the fire departments to let us know, and they're not even responding to confirm the status of them.
Okay, and I find that distressing because the municipality is invested in these fire problems. So when we do the fire services review, can that be one of the recommendations that we put forth? Is that the dry hydrants operational capacity be reviewed?
Yes.
And that any deficiencies be obviously reported in the.
Yes.
But also maybe some way, shape or form, how would we try to mitigate the safety or just try to.
It's one of the components of the fire services review entirely. Like it's a, it's almost like a hint or a symptom of some of the reasons that we need the fire services review is that we're continuing to, you know, request information and not always get it and all of these different kinds of things. So there's some challenges with the current model and the model needs to be really refreshed. And it's been kind of just morphing over decades. And now it needs a freshening, like a complete overhaul and look at it to ensure that, you know, fire protection services are properly provided as they need to be to the municipality.
I will say this as a counselor, I find it very, very disturbing that the departments are not cooperating and providing that type of information. And hopefully at the fire services meeting, we can bring that up and just highlight the importance of responding and being open about.
Right. And I mean, they have capacity challenges too, just to be fair to them. And so it's, you know, it's a combination of factors. I don't think it's a desire not to be supportive. I think there's probably a capacity issue there. But I mean, you know, it's all symptoms of the need for us to look at this.
Yeah, it's deliberate. Okay.
It is hard to justify, and I mean, it's very unfortunate, but justify spending that amount of money without any certainty.
Yes.
And just
especially if you think of the budget cuts and all the things that are happening right now, and then that's kind of money is, you know, have a lot of places it could go.
And with the fire services could have to go back into
it's possible
our departments, right?
So I think it's possible. Yeah.
So I'll make the recommendation. I can just read it here.
You can. Should we add in about the fire services capital reserve policy as well?
It may be beneficial and then cover it later on.
Yeah. After the investment in dry hydrants and the fire services capital reserve policy.
Okay.
If you can.
Councilor Beaver making the recommendation that due to excessive costs of installing dry hydrants, combined with ineffective functionality, investment in dry hydrants. Is this where you want?
Yes, please.
And the
fire services capital
policy.
Reserve policy.
Thank you.
Be paused and considered as part of the broader policy and governance review associated with implementing the support for Fire Protection Services Act.
Let's see.
I'll second what Councillor Beaver just read out.
Deputy Warden Willoughby, all those in favor?
Aye.
That recommendation is. Verbal report, Sheriff Services.
Right. I just wanted to provide a verbal report that we're continuing to have discussion with MODG about the renewal of the shared services that we have with them. And that does need to be confirmed by the end of March. So that will be coming back to the March 18th meeting of council. And we've asked them to look at potentially adding in an annual review of the service, as well as providing some metrics around, you know, the provision of services, and they're definitely taking that seriously and looking at it. They just haven't had a chance to provide a response as of yet. So more information on that will be provided along with specific, we'll need to have approval at the March 18th meeting of council.
Yeah, that's our last council.
Last chance. Yes.
That's our last chance, and then we're on our own.
Yeah.
Up to F, FCM, NSFM conferences.
Yes, so I can speak to this. We really just have three recommendations here and looking for council to provide real recommendations on attendance at the NSFM in the spring, on the attendance at NSFM in the fall, and then to confirm attendance at FCM in Alberta in June. So there are two of them that are motions that are drafted there for your consideration, and the third one is subject to your discussion.
Right.
So the recommendation is the warden, deputy warden, CAO be approved to attend the Nova Scotia Federation Municipality Spring Conference in Yarmouth from April 29th to May 1st, 2026.
Okay, I'll motion to approve.
Councillor O'Connell.
I'll second.
Councillor Tebow, all those in favor?
Aye.
And the second is recommend that all five members of council plus the CAO be approved to attend the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities Fall Conference in November 2026, with attendance to be confirmed pending the announcement of the conference details.
I'll make that recommendation.
Deputy Warden.
Second.
Councillor Beaver, all those in favor?
Aye.
And the third, it says recommended the council confirm attendance of the Federation of Canadian Municipalities Conference in Edmonton, Alberta from June 4th to June 7th, 2026. I do not believe any of us are going. So there's your confirmation.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Okay, so just a motion that no one to not send any member.
No one's going.
I'll make a motion that no one in attending the FCM conference in Edmonton, Alberta from June 4th to 7th, 2022.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Nobody wants to go to Edmonton. Oh, setting a date for the AGM. We're getting towards the end.
Yes. So I can speak to this. With the changes in the provincial budget, we normally would take, the AGM would normally take place in early April, but in light of the budget changes, we probably would just like to have a little bit more time. So we'd like to propose Tuesday, April 21st at 5:30 p.m. be set as the date for the AGM. And so we would ask for a recommendation to approve the annual general meeting to be set for 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, April 21st, 2026.
I'll make that recommendation.
Deputy Warden.
I'll second it.
Councillor Tebow. All those in favor?
Aye.
And last, almost last, the RFP award for design of the multi-use trail in Oldfield Hill.
Thank you, Warden. So in front of you have staff report for the Oldfield Hill multi-use trail design. It's quite lengthy, so I'll do a quick summary. On September 9, 2024, council accepted this active St. Mary's active transportation plan to guide long-term planning prioritization of active transportation initiatives. The plan was informed by extensive public engagement conducted between September and December 2023, which identified safety, accessibility, connectivity, and improved amenities as key community priorities. One of the plan's recommended projects, it was a separated multi-use pathway along Oldfield Hill and Sherbrooke to provide a safe connection between St. Mary's Education Center, Stonewall Park, and the St. Mary's Rexplex, and Highway 7. In 2025-26, capital budget includes funding to advance this initiative, and the municipality has secured $30,000 through the province's Connecting Program, which provides 75% funding. Following a request for proposals issued in December of 2025, seven submissions were received. Great Engineering Limited is recommended for the Oldfield Hill multi-use trail design based on its competitive pricing and strong value for the project deliverables. As a local firm with experience completing similar projects for nearby municipalities, they have a solid understanding of the regional context and the technical capacity to deliver the work, and a clear, achievable timeline aligned with the project goals. Street Engineering has also included an optional component to provide a detailed electrical design for the project at an estimated $8,000. Staff will follow up with Street to obtain a finalized quote and will return to council with a recommendation regarding whether to proceed with that additional work. So tonight we're looking for a recommendation from council to award the Oldfield Hill multi-use trail design contract to Street Engineering Limited in the amount of $25,145 plus applicable taxes, with $6,286.25 plus applicable taxes to be funded through the 2026 capital budget and $18,858.75 plus applicable taxes from the connecting funding received from the province of Nova Scotia.
Question. I don't, maybe this is a marrying question. We have the Connect Two funding.
That is confirmed.
So that's not one of those up in the air things right now.
Any grant that they committed to, which we do have the signed off terms and conditions.
At least as far as the design goes, it may not be there next year.
Connect Two funding was 100%.
100%.
Yeah.
And this is the design.
The design.
Right.
I don't think we could build a trail for that.
Right.
Well, not, so we have one. Not a good one.
Confirmation on this funding. If we were to apply for it next year, you wouldn't have it.
It wouldn't be there.
No.
Well, you've heard the recommendation.
A motion to recommend the council award the old Road Hill multi-use trail design contract to Straight Engineering Limited in the amount of $145 plus applicable taxes with $6,225 plus applicable taxes to be funded through the approved 2026 capital budget, $18,858.75 plus applicable taxes from the county funding received from the province of Nova Scotia.
That's the question.
I think the motion needs to be seconded.
You can ask it.
And then there's questions after.
She wants to ask before.
So. I'm just not sure I'm prepared to move with a motion without my question.
You have to put the motion on the floor. Yeah, the motion has to be on the floor and then you discuss it. So we need a seconder and then it can be discussed.
I'll second.
The question.
Okay. So this is for the design of the trail. Funding is confirmed for that. Moving forward, do we have funds allocated yet?
Staff have applied for federal funds and staff are also conducting meetings with other funding sources to determine if there may be other funds available to supplement those federal funds as well.
Did we have a record motion to add a second? Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is moved on. Last but not least, 8I, in light of the previous meeting that we had with the public in regards to budget cuts and back programs and throughout the municipality. Do you want to speak to that, Councillor Tebow?
Sure, yeah. So after we've had the discussion with the public, there was some chatter raised about some assistance maybe with finding of who and where they should contact with their concerns. So we were just wondering if we could maybe give staff direction to put something out there tomorrow so that public has time before Friday, when I think is when the budget is supposed to come back on the table, to send their letters of concern. I think that's everything. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Well, I think we can make something that's
nonpartisan,
you know, not.
It's just providing information.
Yeah, for information. Yeah, informational purposes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
No problem.
And do we have agreement for stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Everybody says yes.
Yeah. Be nice to know who we're sending them to.
Yes, to give it.
And people's not looking around.
Exactly. To make it convenient so people can take action.
Mm-hmm. So put a name and an address and a phone number.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would publicly state, please make any comments civil, non-threatening, because I understand that local MLA's office has had threatening phone calls. I'm sorry, the constituency assistant does not get paid to be threatened. I know nobody here would do it, but if anybody's out there listening, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That being the end of the agenda items,
is 1835. The meeting is adjourned.